It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
I'm well. How are you, Earl?
I'm doing fine. We've got a whole bank of calls. We've been talking about the debate last night. Want to get your thoughts on it before we go to the phone lines and let them have a dialogue with you as you can respond to all of these people who are waiting to share their views. Your thoughts on what transpired last night?
Well, I went to college on debate scholarship and coached college debate. And so I have to get myself out of that frame of reference, because if I was to judge that like a debate judge, then Kamala Harris very easily won. And that is, you track the arguments and what arguments were made and what warrants or premises they had behind them to defend them. Okay. But that's not what these debates are about. Unfortunately, these debates are about seven swing states and two relatively small segments of the electorate. These conflicted swing voters who don't actually seem to see much difference between the two parties, which can be very confounding to most people. And then folks who are with one side or the other, but need motivation in order to vote, right? Turning out the base. And it's too early to know how those very specialized groups responded, whether the voters who might not vote were watching at all. That's always a question. If they were they excited by one candidate or the other, Trump or Harris? And then with swing voters, it's very hard to say. I mean, pundits from the mainstream media have been quick to jump out and declare Kamala Harris the winner. She's certainly not the loser in that she has done the one thing you had to do in your first debate. It was her maiden effort. She has never been on a national ticket. And people don't know her as well. And so the question is, can this person be president? And she passed that test with flying colors. In fact, she looked a lot more presidential, I think, than Donald Trump. But then again, it's not what I think. It's what swing voters think, and it's what voters who might not vote on either side think.
And, you know, Dr. Craig, you always put it in the right perspective. I was saying to people that I wasn't looking to see if she was going to defeat him in a debate. I was looking to see if I could see a sliver that would say to me that this woman could become the president of the United States. Could I see that in her? Prior to yesterday, Dr. Craig, I can't say that I could in my own mind say that I thought that, yes, this woman is a person who could possibly be that. Yesterday, it showed me some inkling, some signs, Dr. Craig, that this could it could be possible. That's what I saw yesterday. It wasn't about, you know, if she could win on points, right? Not a boxing match.
Yeah, and she showed a lot of strength. She showed why she was an effective prosecutor, an attorney general, knows her way around a courtroom. She was a little bit shaky at the beginning, vaguely. I think she was really nervous, and understandably. Donald Trump seemed much more confident at the beginning, but he got unnerved very quickly and did everything Kamala Harris was trying to get him to do throughout the debate. And then she showed a lot of strength, and she did not fit into his narrative that she's a lightweight, that she couldn't stay in a room with Putin without giving away the store. She showed none of that. In fact, she seemed like, she'd be a really good advocate and a difficult person to deal with. And she knows her stuff, and she certainly got under Donald Trump's skin. And that was the idea, to try to get Trump to beat Trump. And she got a lot of that done. Again, though, swing voters have to see it that way. right? But my goodness, this stuff about the eating of dogs in Springfield, Ohio, you can't make this stuff up. This is unprecedented in American presidential history to have presidents or former presidents spreading this sort of malarkey.
You know, Dr. Craig, and the fact, and we'll go to the phone lines, if she wins, it's going to be World War III and nuclear holocaust. Did you hear him?
Yeah, they're all terrified of Trump, apparently. And apparently everything that the pandemic caused is Biden and Harris's fault and not Trump's fault. I mean, he even let her take away Afghanistan. I thought her answer on abortion was her best. And because she was very specific about the people who were being hurt and brought it down to a very personal level. And he was obviously dissembling, trying to say somehow that he'd achieved some consensus that we're giving it to the states. What was interesting is he kept lying and claiming all the states got to have votes. They're not all going to have votes. You all know in Wisconsin, we're not an initiative state, so you can't put it on the ballot. In a lot of the states with abortion bans, you cannot get it on the ballot. What's interesting is Kamala Harris, this is a problem a lot of politicians have, didn't even get into that complexity, which is probably beyond the level of where the swing voters are, and simply said, this is the man who did it. He bragged about it. He accomplished it. And here's the horrible consequences that are unimaginable and human that it is causing right now.
All right, let's go to
the phone. Saw him on, he won't say he'll veto the national abortion ban. All he'll say is he won't have to.
So let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Hey, good morning. Sorry about my technology.
No, you're fine, man. You're fine. You're fine. Go ahead.
So anyways, last hour, the lady called and who was saying that she really wishes there'd be someone else running. I'm really curious on what exactly she is looking for. Just another quick one. I really feel this time around, especially, that we are not voting for the lesser of two evils. There's only one evil there that's on the ticket, and I'm not voting for that one. And then just a quick thing on humor, since Trump really likes Hannibal so much, I really wish Harris would have said, when he's talking about people eating dogs and cats, if those people are enjoying their dogs and cats with a nice with some nice fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to anything Tom said?
Well, I'll just say my point of view on human nature is that there is no pure evil versus pure good. So shall we just say, agreeing with the caller, that the shade of gray is pretty light in regard to Kamala Harris, and it's very dark, almost black gray on the other side.
All right, let's go to Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning to Karina. Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts?
Good morning. Well, you know, I want to talk to people like CJ and David and even Cassandra. Anyone is on TV, it actually doesn't mean you need to repeat it. And I'm saying it because Trump was saying yesterday the same stuff, that how come Kamala didn't do anything for 3.5 years, yet when he was asked what would be the role of his new vice president, Vance, he said, well, it's really a cabinet figure. So pick one, whether the person who's the vice president is the cabinet figure or the person as a Kamala supposed to be a president while we have another one. We're not going to have two presidents in the White House.
Hey, Karina, it's a great thought. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to what she's saying?
Yeah, I give a consumer alert to Karina and other callers. trying to find consistency in Donald Trump's various utterances can kill brain cells. So apparently Kamala Harris is responsible for not solving all problems. Never mind she's not president. Never mind that Congress has to pass laws. But his vice president will have no power because he is all powerful, feared by all, and no war will occur when Donald Trump is in office. And so, you know, you can't find consistency there. But again, she didn't fall into the trap of explaining how government worked to Donald Trump, because that's not where the voters are. In fact, the media is all accepting this kind of, there's this kind of unstated agreement that it's thought to be okay to blame any elected official for anything that is going wrong when they were in office. Economists do not think that inflation was caused by Joe Biden's policies. They also believe that that inflation would have happened anyway because of the effects and the disruptive effects of the pandemic if Donald Trump had been president. Well, notice the PolitiFacts people don't deal with that. Apparently that's legitimate. So we live in a system where we don't really try to explain to people what is the cause of the things they wanted, that they're concerned about. And so therefore, how do you determine what the policy should be and which candidates you should support? You can't. So we've given away so much of the how government works and explaining why things are as they are, that we're left with kind of this contest over credibility. Who do you believe will make your life better? And that's a much more kind of, that's much more of a feel thing than it is a policy thing. Though all this morning, the media is all digging in like there's some deep policy thing going on.
844-967-2789 is the number. Let me say this, guys, hang on the phone lines. You know, Dr. Craig, I would clearly state that one of the things that they kept talking about was she's a flip-flopper. Don't people have a right to change their minds, Dr. Craig? Are we saying that people should be steadfast in their thoughts and never open to change their ideas and their views? Is that what the people are saying?
That well, I know we're coming to a break. The critique gets there, but I could say more about that or less.
All right, hold the thought. 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action and You. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. That same number is Wednesday. That means Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action is online. And Dr. Craig, before we go to the phone lines, I was asking you, because we keep hearing this stuff, she's flip-flopping, she's changing her mind. Your thoughts on people who look at things, I don't know, I'm not so steadfast. If I hear something that makes sense, my mind is open to being changed since I don't know everything, Dr. Craig. Does that make a person weak if they make a decision to change their views on things?
It's maybe one of the oldest political attacks. And it does, once its terms are accepted, because what each side tends to do is deny its flip-flopping and say the other side is flip-flopping.
Yes.
It does create the premise that we shouldn't learn. Learning is about learning from experience, right? It's sort of like perhaps President Biden's Israel policy made sense in the 1980s when he learned it, but he hasn't learned, it hasn't evolved, and he's not dealing with Netanyahu in a unique situation. And so we really should be teaching people that evolution is a good idea. Now, there might be more to it in that sometimes flip-flops are not that. They're not people learning from experience. They're people adapting to political constraints, right? So the classic one in presidential elections is as far as a particular state that matters, having a distinct policy demand, is Iowa with ethanol. So all the candidates that were against massive federal subsidies for ethanol, when they want to run for president, suddenly became for it, right, of each party. So that's a perfect example. And the question is, has Kamala Harris flip-flopped on fracking? Now, fracking's a bad thing, okay? It's environmentally destructive, and it's unleashing a kind of fossil fuel that is very damaging to global warming and the climate, and that we need to cut down on. But Pennsylvania makes a lot of money from fracking, and so it becomes a little bit like ethanol, where she doesn't feel like, and she had to change her position, her original position in 2020. Republicans are not wrong about what her position was in 2019, 2020, when she first ran for president. But President Biden didn't support banning fracking, so she shifted her position to be his vice president. Now she's standing behind her position as vice president. Now, she did begin to explain this, not in this debate, but in another setting where she said she learned that you didn't have to ban fossil fuel development like fracking. What you had to do is, if you surge money in renewable energy, then you would end the market for it. And that's what the Inflation Reduction Act does. So she has provided that explanation, but it's too complicated. We know with Donald Trump, and me personally, I'd rather candidates spin less and actually do what you just said, Earl, okay, and explain their development and explain that that's a good thing, that's a sign of character, that you evolve and that situations change. It might be very good to rely more on student loans for financing college education at one point, but then with a debt crisis, we are much better to fund colleges better and to have more grant money, just for example. So things can evolve, and it's not a flip-flop. But her flip-flops on fracking are nothing like Donald Trump's on abortion, where he is twisting himself in knots. So I wonder to what extent he can land a flip-flopping punch with him, I don't know, wriggling around on the stage trying to get out of the abortion straitjacket he has created and the right has created for themselves.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Dr. Craig. Thank you for taking my call. One thing, I believe what Bernie Sanders said, she'll say anything to get elected. And she didn't answer the first question, did she? You could tell the moderators had their thumb on the scale. First question was, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And that's a resounding no. And she wasn't pressed on many issues that she's flip-flopped on by the moderators as they helped.
So it was three against one, you would say, CJ, right? Three against one?
Well, they certainly didn't. They didn't fact check her. They didn't ask her about her flip-flops. And there's more than just one. There's many, right?
Didn't they ask her about fracking?
Yeah, they did. They absolutely
did.
They
did ask her about fracking. Okay.
You guys don't press her.
What do you mean don't press
her? And the moderators certainly didn't. I mean, there's so many. It's not just fracking that she's changed her opinion on. Now she's for the border wall. I mean, who's the incumbent here, right?
She's not the president, man. What do you mean the incumbent? They're running for president, CJ. She's not an incumbent president. She's not an incumbent. Okay.
What?
She's not an incumbent president, man.
No, she's the incumbent border czar, and this record, it's breaking our country. Look at the cities. I mean, you guys can deflect all you want and make this about symbolism.
Yeah, the world is coming to an end, CJ. It absolutely is. And if she gets elected, World War III is going to happen. And we're all going to die, Dr. Craig.
Yeah, I keep hearing about Minneapolis burned down, but when I go there, it seems to be there, thriving. It's the darndest thing. Let's talk about, if we're going to make flip-flopping the standard, let's talk about the Affordable Care Act. What is Donald Trump saying about that? He tried to repeal it constantly. John McCain, as Kamala Harris rightly pointed out, stopped him, and he says he's coming up with an alternative still. He has been running since 2016, and he still doesn't have an alternative. They have concepts. It's fascinating. And then he said, John McCain had been against the Affordable Care Act before. What difference does that make? You tried to repeal it. Now you're trying to run away from your position. You've been promising an alternative forever, and you don't have one. And you can't name a premise of it. You just said, oh, there are concepts that we're working on. Okay, well, we look forward. This is the longest developing plan in the history of American government.
You know, Dr. Craig, and then he said, when they asked him, he says, well, I'm not the president. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm not the president right now. We'll see when I get to become the president. Guys, hang on. 844-967-2789. Is the number. Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action is on board. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And I have to give praise and honor, Dr. Craig, to whoever invented being able to, you know, get music from the past and keep playing it over and over and over and over again. Whoever invented those things, man, God bless him. Anyway, we're talking about, debate.
I was going to say, credit to you and Calvin. Your show has the best bumper music out there.
Well, yeah, Calvin is really good, man. So let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Hey, good morning to you, Lynn. You say what?
I wear flip-flops all the time. But the greatest flip-flopper of all is the Democrat Donald Trump, who switched parties, and he was quite liberal. He donated, I believe he donated to Hillary Clinton. But I wanted to let you know that I Googled Kamala Harris's platform, and her official site comes up if you type in Kamala Harris platform. And for people like David, it highlights bullet points on her positions. And if you tap on them, it flushes them out a bit. And then at the bottom, it compares them to Trump platform or Project 2025 platform positions. So it's a good read. It's very informative for those of you who can't find the information. And if you look, you will find it.
Hey, Lynn, thank you very much for the call. You know, the one thing, especially Dr. Craig, that you pointed out today, as you always do, is, you know, we have to temper the excitement and all those things, because you keep talking about a sliver of people who are going to make the decision, and none of the things we're talking about impact them one way or the other. Is it safe to say that?
Well, it's too different, as that most of the media coverage is on this small sliver of undecideds. And that kind of wishy-washy, cross-pressured voter, I've sat in focus groups. So you sit behind a one-way mirror. You just see the moderator talking to the focus group of undecided voters. They're a very confounding group of people. They're a hard people to base a democracy on. Okay, I'll leave it at that. They have pulled all sorts of... speaking of flip-flopping, all sorts of contradictory positions and process things very differently than partisans of one side or the other, dramatically so. But there's also, this is understated, a huge number of base voters, that is voters who will, if they vote, will vote for one side or the other, who may stay on the couch, right? And you have to inspire those folks. Like, let's say, a young African-American man in his 20s who doesn't feel like he has much opportunity.
Right.
A high school education, doesn't have those great union manufacturing jobs that people had when Black folks first came to Milwaukee during the Great Migration. And so he wants to hear, he has to be inspired that Kamala Harris is going to do something that really improves his life, the life of his family, his friends, everyone he knows, his neighborhood, his community. And so that is... that's a very different voter than these conflicted middle voters. And they're both important, because if you get higher turnout of your base, these swing voters matter less, right? If everyone's bases turn out equally, both sides, then it comes down in a state like Wisconsin to some swing voters in Waukesha County, just say, for example. That is one of the places with the inner, more built up suburbs where there are a lot of them, just for example. I would say, though, on flip-flopping, Earl, the biggest flip-flop is Project 2025, okay? Everybody knows it was being prepared for the next Republican president, for Donald Trump. He had 130 former Trump officials writing it. He rode on a plane with the head of the Heritage Foundation that led the process to the event that announced it, rode in the private jet and praised it at its unveiling. And now he has nothing to do with it, and it's a lie. Okay. There's just no doubt he's decided to run away from it. And they're shocked that a lot of folks, by a lot of journalists like Ann Nelson, for example, have done great work to publicize Project 2025 well ahead. And it's actually become a political issue where a lot of the public knows about it. And this is a shock. The Koch brother funded groups, this was put together by all the right wing groups that fund Republican campaigns, okay, and the whole infrastructure. These are their closest allies. They thought they could do this in the open, and that most public would never know about it. Democrats have done a great job making it prevalent, and hence Donald Trump is running away from it, because he has very few stable values. All of the things he holds on to are things that he thinks benefit him politically and give him power, period. Explanation point.
All right, let's go to Jeff from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Jeff. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl and Dr. Craig. My favorite line was when he admitted that he was not a commander-in-chief and that Nancy Pelosi should have been commander-in-chief on January 6th. I thought that was fantastic.
Jeff, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. As I always say, we the people ultimately are the government, and we will be the ones that ultimately make this choice in November through our vote. I am very excited, and excitement is what actually gets us out to walk door to door. I actually spent the last week and a half in Wisconsin, in the northwestern part, and knocked on doors. And I'm telling you, it's, you know, people may may put a bleak situation on things, but the people I talk to are very, very excited to vote for Kamala Harris. And, you know, I'm sure after last night's debate, it'll even be even better. So yeah, it's, you know, we need the excitement so we can get people out to actually walk door to door and make things happen. Wisconsin will always be my home, and Wisconsin is definitely, unfortunately one of those states that actually has, I think, way too much power through the Electoral College. But that being said, it is what it is. And I'm just here to report that, people out there are excited about Kamala Harris. And I hope people just continue to register to vote. Taylor Swift has now endorsed Kamala Harris. People may think that's kind of a funny thing, but honestly, it's going to be huge. Yeah, I think that, you know, again, we the people are the government. And if you look at Donald Trump, all you have to do is not look at the number of lies he said, but the number of times he said, I will fix it. I will do this. Viktor Orban, he used as an example. Who is a dictator, Putin dictator. Donald Trump wants to be a dictator. He doesn't care about we the people. He wants to just fix it himself.
Hey, Tom, thank you. Thank you very much, you know, for the work you're doing, man. We need all of that. Let's go to Carmella from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Carmella. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Dr. Craig. Good morning, Earl. I say, first of all, I'm Mark safe from having my pet eaten today. I thought it was so ridiculous, but I was actually kind of like happy that he just kept talking, and I didn't get to watch it until a couple hours later after the debate was over, but I'm sitting there going, yes, yes, just let him talk. Let him talk. I was somewhat impressed with the moderators. They did somewhat fact check him, but of course they had to move on. And I think, and this is my suggestion for future debates, yes, mute the mics. But if you notice, a couple times they unmuted him when he was kind of over there starting to talk. And I thought, well, what's the point of having the mic muted? But I realize that they can't fact check him in real time for the most part. They should have it up on the screen, fact checking. They should have a fact checking team, and it should be scrolling on the bottom what the facts are. And that's just my opinion. I thought Kamala did a wonderful job.
Hey, Carmella, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Jean from McClaire. Jean, thank you. You say what?
Hi, guys. Great show this morning. I had to hang up a couple times because the smoke was coming out of my ears with those people that were supporting Trump. I got to tell you, you know, because his very favorite story is the woman who picks up the snake and takes him home. And then that snake bites her and kills her, but she was so stupid that she picked him up. Wake up, folks. He's a snake. Don't pick him up. He's going to bite you and knock you out. I mean, and then when a person talks about themselves, well, Gene, she's saying things, and here I'm Gene, and he's talking about himself like he's a different person. Well, they're going after Trump. Well, Trump says, guys, wake up. That is a red flag flying. If you don't think he's not there now, you guys better pay attention. And Kamala, what a great woman. I've watched her for years in the Senate. She doesn't flip-flop. She takes account of all the facts and thinks about things. And remember, you got people who have sat in that House who haven't done one thing, voted one way. And remember that, Wisconsin. Your Republicans there haven't done one thing to get money back. They voted against everything to help Wisconsin. You need to get those other people down the line to get things done that you need done for our country and our children. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Hey Gene, thank you very much. Dr. Craig, you know, we've got some people that are excited. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, Tom put his finger on that. People who are going to volunteer are excited. So that's another group you're trying to energize. Through these debates, you're trying to energize your whole volunteer base, the activists. And we have a society where, particularly after COVID, and this is the rise of digital and social media and all of the cable news entertainment, not enough people are off getting off the sidelines. And so I think Kamala Harris's performance certainly helped gen up volunteers and the people who actually turn out the vote. And so that is very, very helpful. You know what? It's hard to say. Trump's performance was very exciting to a lot of his base, Earl. Perhaps CJ speaks for a lot more people. And so I'm not saying that his performance, it doesn't seem like it could have been very helpful to swing voters or people in the or a lot of other voters, quite frankly, but it may have revved up his base. There's about half of the Republican Party that is, shall we say, is more motivated by Trump than being a partisan Republican. That Trump has taken over those voters, and maybe that was a good performance for them, or all, who knows?
Well, if you listen to what Fox News said right after the debate, I was watching it, and they said over 96% of the responses they got were positive that Trump won. Ah, okay. All right. 844-967-2788. Guys, hang on the phone lines. We're coming right back to you on the other side. All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. The one and only Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action is on board. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Hey, you know, Trumpism has become normalized way too much with a group of people. And I'm of the opinion that group of people, and we'll call Republicans, have put the Republican Party in a very, very tough spot. I think a very high-risk spot. I want a strong conservative voice. I want a good, a strong Republican Party. I believe in balanced power, and I think most people do. But when you see something like this Trump phenomenon, where, again, up until last night, there was very little fact-checking in scrutinizing, you know, the dialogue of a national debate, for crying out loud. So the normalization of Trump has really put the Republican Party, I think, in a really bad spot. And, hey, you know, what happens, happens. But the last thing I wanted to talk about is when confronted and talked about the peaceful transfer of power and, you know, the 2020 election, Trump went in great length and spent a lot of time going into nonsense. Again, things that have been totally debunked. And, you know, he went on and on and on. So for me, any candidate running for any public office, if you can't swear an oath and sign a document saying that you will abide by certified election results, you shouldn't be able to run for office. You shouldn't have any opportunity to you know, basically give the finger to the U.S. Constitution.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
He makes some great points. He's right about the normalization. Huge number of the things Trump said last night, which people just yawned over, were unimaginable from any former candidates for president. So it is remarkable, and it does get normalized. You know, it's just a side thing about the family dogs disappearing, right? I guess this has been very domestic, Earl. I mean, it joins the cat lady problem that J.D. Vance has put on the agenda. And so it's interesting. He really did nailed. Kamala Harris baited him into again denying that he lost the 2020 election, which his handlers did not want him to do, and sounded fairly crazed about it. And he is setting up for another contested election. There is no question of that. And you know, I mean, liberals used to be opposed to loyalty oaths. We used to have them during the Cold War, and kind of the Red Scares, right, of the 1950s and 60s. I remember, Earl, when I was a graduate assistant at University of Georgia, you used to take a loyalty oath that said that you did not support any organization that sought the violent overthrow of the government of the United States and the government of the state of Georgia. So I don't know. We used to have all of that, but now we let people run for president who are pro-insurrection and will, like a third world dictator, try to squelch any result that they don't approve of that has not put them in power.
All right, Susan, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes.
I want to talk about what one of your callers, David, said about the Ukraine, because they always bring Ukraine up because it's been 2.5 years. But do we forget about all the people that Trump was in office when this started? And Trump, if you read Fiona Hill's book, if you read Marie Yukovich's book, if you read John Bolton's book, Trump was waiting for Zelensky on that infamous call to take a bribe so that Putin actually literally could have walked in and taken over the Ukraine. But Zelensky, being a patriot and loving his country, did not take the bait. And this is where this all started. And I think that we have to continue to support Ukraine, because don't we support freedom? Don't we support liberty? And if Putin continues to walk straight through Ukraine, he will end up with Poland and all the rest of the countries in the NATO alliance. And the people in the NATO alliance know that. And that is why we support Ukraine.
Susan, thank you.
I just wanted to tell David.
Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you began conversation today with trying to get people to think, you know, where this race is going to be won and lost. And so you clearly tempered, you know, people being so excited about, even after the Democratic convention, get people to understand it's not black and white. You know, I had Sandy on the other day, and we talked about, you know, the popular vote and what's the other vote, Calvin?
Electoral college.
Yeah, electoral college. And so we spent an hour and a half going through that with Sandy, so people could really understand. Dr. Craig, it's not all black and white, is it? It's not always what we see.
It's not a full, we don't have majority rule in this country. And there's a built-in advantage to Republicans. So we're playing on like tennis court where one side is a doubles court, one is a singles court. And Kamala Harris may still be winning. I think she got as much out of the debate as you can get. We just don't know how much the debate matters, right? And it does, it is a tale of two debates. The first debate, President Biden got off none of the major ammunition against Donald Trump, right? The gun was jammed.
Yep.
And now it's an amazing amount of shots she got off at him, including how much he is disliked by the foreign leaders. Fact check, true, unless they're dictators. And she really got a lot of salvos off, and it really put him on the defensive because she took away his most vulnerable point is ego, because the ego is the size of the Titanic.
Dr. Craig, thank you as always. We'll see you again in a week. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Matt Nair and Greg Bach, Jane Matt Nair on air. You've been tuned into the early.